Assurance that I'll see. the shepherd of your soul. Hallelujah. Just lift up your voice. You want to lift up your hands. Express thanksgiving to your shepherd today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank our cup runs over today. Our cup runs over because of you, Lord. Because of you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Abba Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for holding us close today. We commit ourselves to you. We commit our lives to you to walk with you. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that you would send a special anointing up on the remainder of our time together today. I pray that you would anoint your servant, Lord. I'm just a vessel of clay. I'm nothing and of myself, Lord. I'm asking for your spirit to flow through me. May the words that come out of my mouth be your words today. I pray that you block from my mind any words that are not from you. And I pray that you would open up the hearts of your people to hear and receive the good word, Lord. Your holy word that changes and transforms into your hearts today. We'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm excited about this word today. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 5, and I want you to flip over to the book of Hebrews. Kind of keep your finger there also, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 11. Today I want to wrap up the series entitled Ready. I pray that you have gleaned over the last few weeks from this series because it is vitally important that each and every one of us are ready to meet the Lord because He is coming again. May God remain the word to you. Amen out there. I said Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I want to address another vitally important aspect of being ready this morning. One day this past week, I found myself praying as I was walking from point A to point B here at the church. And it just hit me like it had hit me before, the privilege of being able to walk with God. I was just walking, and as I was walking, I was just praying. Isn't it a privilege that you and I, no matter where we go, no matter where we are, we can walk with God?
Yes.
That we can have God right there with us. No matter where you're at, what you're facing, what you're going through, you can walk with God and know that He is right there with you. And so as I began to reflect on this concept of walking with God, again, I began to reflect on what a privilege it is that the God of the universe would invite us to walk with Him. And so I began to dig deeper. I wanted to know what it meant to walk biblically. So I went to Nelson's Bible Dictionary. And according to this dictionary, walk is defined this way. This is not a surprise to most of us, especially this first part, to move at a pace slower than a run. Okay. One's conduct of life, speaking more figuratively and spiritually now. The literal sense predominates in the Old Testament, but the figurative meaning of the word does occur. We're going to look at it here in Genesis 5 this morning. In the New Testament, the word usually is used literally in the Gospels, while it is used figuratively in Paul and John's letters. The figurative sense has decidedly spiritual overtones. One either walks, conducts his life as a Christian, or as a non-Christian. The believer can walk in darkness or in the light, and constantly is urged to choose the latter. Only such a path is worthy of the calling to which you were called. And as I began to reflect deeper on what it means to walk with God in this spiritual and figurative sense, my mind took me to a man named Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. His name literally means initiation or dedication. Everybody say dedication.
Dedication.
Enoch means dedication. Dedication, you could probably say, was dedicated wholeheartedly to God. Let's read together Genesis 5, verse 21. Genesis 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24 says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, most of you know this scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It sets the stage for what's coming in this chapter. It's the chapter of faith, if you will. And in verse number 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can I ask you right here, could there be a greater testimony for any one of us to have than to know that we are pleasing to God? I don't think there's a greater testimony to have. And I believe it should be a goal for every single one of us, regardless of what spiritual plane you are on today, whether you're a new believer or you've been a believer for many years, we need to go after God with all of our heart and seek to fully please Him.
Amen.
Enoch had only one claim to fame. He never parted the Red Sea like Moses. He never slew a giant like David. He never wrestled with an angel like Jacob did. He never was swallowed by a great fish like Jonah. He never walked on water like Jesus. He didn't even write more than just one verse in the Bible. The one thing we are told with substance about this man named Enoch was that he walked with God. Those words put him in God's Hall of Fame. The real danger of a person is not how much is said about him, but what is said. Because a lot can be said about a person in just a few words. He walked with God. When you study the life of this incredible man, he was one of only two men who ever lived, but never died on this earth. The other one was Elijah. And I believe that Enoch teaches us some great truths about our life here on earth and the life to come, and how you and I can strive to walk with God and be ready when He comes for us. First of all, I want you to notice that we can enjoy intimate fellowship with God. We can enjoy intimate fellowship with God. Now, anybody can walk with God, but not everybody does. In fact, most people don't. Did you know that you can literally walk with God? I read about a missionary in India who had led several people in a village to faith in Christ. One of the new Christians walked up to him one day and said, I'll watch you very closely, and I see how you walk with God and how you talk to God. He said, I want to ask you a question. Does God have favorites? That missionary gave a very wise answer. He said, God does not have favorites, but He does have intimates. Let me ask you a question. Would you say that you enjoy intimate fellowship with God? Do you enjoy intimate fellowship with God? Some of you are saying, how do I know how much of God I have in my life? I'll tell you exactly how much of God you have in your life right now. Are you ready? You have as much of God as you want. I said you have as much of God as you want. It really comes down to your level of surrender. It comes down to your level of desire. It comes down to what Jeremiah 29 and 13 tells us. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. If you'll give him all of your heart, you will find all of God that you could ever want. Hallelujah. You're going to walk with God and have this kind of intimate fellowship like Enoch did. You're going to have to take time to do it. If you're not walking with God, in essence, you're walking away from God. If you're not walking with God, in essence, you're walking away from God.
Yes.
I had to learn a very important lesson early on in my marriage. And my wife would probably say there's a lot of other lessons I still need to learn as well. But we won't address those today. We'll just keep those for another time. But a lot of times we would be walking somewhere together, and I had this bad habit of just walking up in front of her. I might get way up in front of her, and she would just have to say, "Hey, you want to come back here and walk with me?" I mean, this is supposed to be a leisure, romantic walk, and for some reason, you think you always got to be up there. I don't know if it's just because my legs are longer or what, or my mind's focused on something else, but I've gotten better at this. I've still got some work to do.
Oh, yes.
But I've got to walk with her.
Yes.
Right? Husbands and wives, you have your boyfriend or her, you know what I'm talking about. You need to walk with them. Hold their hand and act like you love each other. Oh, I've said that to me before. Hold my hand, act like you love me. The good part is I don't have to act like I love her, I do. But I know what she's trying to say. See, listen, you and I don't need to spend time with God because God needs to get to know you. How many know He already knows everything about us?
Yeah.
We need to spend time with God because we need to get to know Him. Because the more you know God, the more you will be like God. I mean, isn't that really the ultimate goal for us? To be like Jesus and to be conformed to His very image? Every single one of us should have a goal. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus in my home life, in my marriage, and the way I'm with my child. I want to be more like Jesus with my kids and the people I meet every day. I want to be more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:19 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, as beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." We need to be more like Jesus. Romans 8:29, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." That's why it's so crucial to every single Christian takes time each day, what we call devotional time or quiet time, to spend time in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, church. There's a lot of spiritually anemic people that are sitting on pews every single week, and the only thing they're living on is what they get on Sunday. But can I tell you, you cannot live just what's up on what you hear from this pulpit every week. Yes, that should help you. It should solidify where you already are and what's going on in your heart. But you've got to get into the Word for yourself. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You've got to walk with God. You can't go off somebody else's walk. You can't go off what happened in the past and what happened in your childhood and how the Holy Ghost moved when I was a teenager. No, you need the Spirit of God to move right now in your life. You need the Holy Spirit to follow you right now. You need to walk with God in a fresh way. That Enoch walked with God. What I mean by that is God did not walk with Enoch. God was not going Enoch's way. Enoch was going God's way. How do you know that God is not going to go our way? That's what happens to us a lot of times. We choose which direction we want to go, and we say, "God, would you bless this now? I'm going up here. Bless me, Lord." Yes, God gives us the desires of our heart. Aren't you thankful for that?
Yes.
Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But if your delight is truly in the Lord, you're going to want what God wants for your life. You're going to want His purpose and His plan and His will. And so you want Him to show the way and walk with Him, go His direction. resurrection.
Amen.
That he is revealing to you. In order to walk with God, you've got to be committed to doing the will of God. God never walks in our direction. We have to walk in his. Secondly, we can exercise intense faith with God. One more time, look in Hebrews 11. By faith in him was taken up so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God took him, for he obtained this witness before he was taken, that he was pleasing to God. About everything else, the Bible tells us that Enoch was a man of faith. He was a man of intense faith. And that's why he could leave behind a testimony that he pleased God. What was it about his faith that pleased the Lord? As I've already told you, he obeyed the will of God. I'm going to ask you today, think about this. Do you have a desire to please God? Well, we might say that verbally, but in your heart, in your actions, in your lifestyle, do you have a desire to please God? You've heard me say this if you've been in this church for any number of years. If you don't have a desire in your heart that hates sin, if you don't have a holy hatred towards sin, there's something wrong.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, you who love the Lord hate evil. Mm-hmm. If you really love Jesus, you're going to hate sin. You're going to hate what it does to you and what it does to others and how it wrecks relationships and how it affects generations to come. Because when you sin, you're not just affecting you, you're affecting generations.
Yes,
when you persist in it, I'm talking more about persistence in, because we all fall short of the glory of God. But when you stay in that and you refuse to repent and you refuse to get right with God, you are affecting generations to come. Do you have a desire to please God? I like what Adrian Rogers once said. He said, if you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please. But if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. Did you get that? If you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please. But if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. That's why the apostle said we would rather obey God than obey men. When it comes down to it, what matters the most is, are you pleasing God Almighty? And when you've got his stamp of approval upon you, even if there's others that are not going along with you, can I just tell you, keep the faith. You keep your eyes upon Jesus. You will be rewarded eventually in due season. You will be rewarded. God said, go, and he said, where do you want me to go, and how quick? It was that kind of obedience. He walked with God. You know, that was a special relationship. He walked with God so closely and so intimately, and God said, wait, you're just coming home with me. That's exactly what James meant when he said, faith without works is dead. Real faith works. Real faith is not something that somebody says they have. Real faith is something somebody shows they have. Real faith doesn't say, I believe people ought to hear about Jesus. Real faith actually tells people about Jesus. Real faith doesn't say, I believe in giving. Real faith gets out the tithe envelope and puts that 10% in it and worships the Lord with it. Hello, somebody. Amen. Or hello, you woman. That's real faith. Real faith doesn't say, I believe in the church, but never show up when the doors are open. Real faith says, I'm going to get myself in the house of God and worship the Lord in spirit and truth, because I'm not to forsake myself for the assembling of myself together, as is the manner of some, but so much the more as I see the day approaching. Real faith goes to church and serves in the church and supports the church and says, here I am to serve. How can I be used in the kingdom of God? Yeah. Real faith says, I don't just want to sit over to you and warm it. And how can I be used to help you, Pastor, to help the leadership, let's get a harvest together. I want souls to be saved, so I'm going to get engaged in the harvest.
Amen.
That's real faith. Real faith has action associated. He not only obeyed the will of God, he believed the word of God. Verse 21 says, it speaks volumes. It tells us Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. And wrapped up in the name of Methuselah is a fascinating story. I began to research this, and this is fascinating. Because one definition of Methuselah talks about the man of the sword, the man of the javelin. But another definition, most scholars seem to agree on this one more than the other one. They talk about the name meaning when he is dead, it will come or be sent. When he is dead, it will come or be sent. What was the it? This was a prophecy of the flood that was coming to the earth. From the very moment that Methuselah was born, Enoch knew that God's judgment was on the way. Are you with me so far?
I'm going to
keep. In fact, Enoch knew that as long as Methuselah was alive, the judgment of God would not occur. And that is exactly what happened. Evidently, according to the math, we'll go over that just a moment. The moment Methuselah died, or close thereby, God sent the flood on the earth. How do we know this? I think this is fascinating. Look at Genesis 5 and 25. You have your Bibles. We're told at the age of 187, Methuselah became the father of Lamech. Are you with me so far? Then we're told in verses 28 and 29 that when Lamech was 182, he became the father of Noah. When you add up 187 and 182, you get 369. So Methuselah was 369 years old when his grandson Noah was born. When did the flood come? According to Genesis 7 and 11. Look at it with me. Tells us the flood came in what year of Noah's life? The 600th year of Noah's life. So when you add 600 to 369, a lot of you are good at math, that is what? 969. And how old was Methuselah when he died? 969. So evidently, the very moment that Methuselah drew his last breath, God shut the door on the ark and sent the flood. I've heard like many of you from childhood that Methuselah was the oldest man living in the Bible. I believe it's not a coincidence that he was given the privilege of being the oldest man who ever lived. You know why he lived longer than anyone else? Because he illustrated just how patient and long-suffering God is. He was serving as a type of Christ, and I told you last week, a lot of people are trying to figure out why hasn't Jesus come back yet with all the evil in the world, with all the sin and all that's going on. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? I'm here to tell you that God is a whole lot more patient. He's a whole lot more long-suffering than we are. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God gave the world almost 1,000 years to repent and get right before he sent his judgment. Some people read the book of Genesis. They say, well, God just got ticked off and he got mad at everybody and he locked everybody out. But I'm here to tell you that God always gives ample time to repent. You just got to repent. You got to call the name of Jesus. 1,000 years. He gave the people to get right before he sent the flood. I'm telling you, God is a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel 18 and 32 says, I take no pleasure in the death of one who dies, declares the Lord. see everything in the Old Testament. How do you know that the Old Testament is constantly pointing to Christ? Everything that you read there, somehow or another, is pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the fulfillment of the law. Amen. Lastly, we can experience an incredible future with God. We can experience an incredible future with God. Aren't you thankful that we have a future with God?
Yes.
No matter how bad this world gets, what happens in your world. Some of you thought your world was crumbling down. I'm here to tell you, when you've got Jesus Christ in your life, you've got hope. You've got hope. After 300 years of faithfully walking with God day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, century after century. I don't know about you, but I just can't imagine living that long. The Bible just simply says in verse number 24, in it, walk. Oh, that's a very hard thing to do. Well, it probably wasn't as hard as you can imagine. Probably just, you know what, okay, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you. Whatever you say, I'm just going to seek you through it. I'm just going to walk with you. I need your fellowship. I need your presence. I can't make it without. I enjoy being with you so much. I'm just going to take the time to be with you. I'm going to walk with you, God.
Yes.
I'm just going to talk to you every day. I'm going to walk with you every day. I'm going to listen to what you have to say. I'm not going to act like I've got it all figured out on my own. I'm not going to go my own direction, do my own thing, but I'm just going to walk with you. It may have been a whole lot easier than you think. It was just a determination. Matter of fact, his name literally means what? Dedication. He was dedicated. 24/7 for 300 years, God and Enoch walked together. And can you just imagine in your mind's eye one afternoon they were out walking together like they always had? Maybe Enoch looked at God and said, Lord, it's getting late. I'm going home. And I can just hear God looking at Enoch and saying, well, Enoch, you are going home. But tonight it's not going to be goodnight, Lord. Tonight it's going to be goodbye, earth. And he took him home. And he's immediately with him. I think it's incredible to see how Enoch was taken. He was, if you will, raptured. We've been talking about that. What does that mean? Catching away. He was called away. He was just taken up, which one day will happen to every single Christian when Jesus comes back to this planet. The big deal about Enoch was not how he was taken, but where he went. He went to be with the Lord. I don't really care where I go as long as I'm with Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter whether you go through the grave or you go through the clouds. Either way, whether you die before Jesus returns or whether Jesus returns before you die, God will take you to be with him forever. Can you just imagine with me? Can you just reflect with me for a moment? The tenth of eternal life to be with Jesus. Forever and forever and forever. Somebody give Jesus praise. Raise your hand if you remember Brother Ronald Hudgens. Attended this church for me about 30, 30, 40 years. I really don't know how long. As long as I've been here. Up until the recent last few years. They would go visit him. And some of you may not know this, but Ronald is in a hospice care right here in Nashville. And I'm sure he's open to visitors. He loves having visitors. So if any of you are out there, go see him. Room 114 at the hospice center. He blessed me. We had an opportunity to talk. I don't know what state he's in right now, but he was conversant that day. He knew who I was. We had a great time. Shared a prayer. The Holy Spirit came down. He began to speak in tongues. He was speaking in tongues. The glory of God was filling that room. Hallelujah. We began to talk about heaven. We began to talk about seeing Jesus. And what he said, he He said, in that song, I didn't go to meet Jesus. He started talking about going to see Al, Gina, Vicki, Spain. Then he made the statement, he said, I'm going to do it. Really reflect on what's getting ready to happen. He said, I'm going through the gates.
Well, Father, what we
thank you,
Lord. I'm going through the gates. How do you know that you're going through the gates?
Amen.
And we started talking about how this is real, isn't it? You know, we're talking about heaven, we're talking about eternal life and the life thereafter. And you know, and sometimes it just seems like, we should be honest about, is it real? I mean, yeah, I feel the awareness of the Spirit, the presence and power of God, but it hit me like it never hit me before how real this thing is. It's so real. Jesus is coming for us. Whether it's through the rapture, or whether it's through the grave, or Jesus is coming for you. Are you going to be ready? Are you walking with God? Because you're not going with Him if you're not walking with Him. These days, if you continue walking with God, the Lord is going to take you home to be with Him. Maybe it will be like me and Elijah, raptured through the clouds. Or maybe it will just be through natural death. Maybe it will be through martyrdom, because there's a lot of people, listen, we often don't realize this, but there's people in other countries, probably even in the United States, but there's people outside of the United States who are suffering for Jesus, and they're giving their lives as martyrs for Christ. Jesus is going to take them home to be with Him forever. I would say, walk with God. Walk with God. It's time to walk with God and move on with God. Turn your neighbor and tell them, it's time to move on to God.
It's time to move on to God.
Move on to God. You got to keep walking with God, and you got to keep moving on with God. Psalm 116:9 says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said, walk in unity. Walk worthy of the calling. In Ephesians 5:1, he said, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering and a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. When you walk in the light, you expose the unfruitful works of darkness. In Colossians 1:10, the Bible says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 2:6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. In other words, don't just say a prayer, Jesus, come into my life, after you receive Him into your life. Walk in Him. Live for Him. Seek to obey Him. Put His word into practice. Don't just have a form of godliness, but have the real thing. God, one of these days, hallelujah, you're going to go up with God. Hallelujah. Anybody ready to go up?
Amen.
If you walk home with me, one of these days you're going to move on up. I'm talking about moving up to a deluxe apartment in the sky. And I'm not talking about the Jeffersons either. I'm talking about a mansion that Jesus has prepared for every single one of his children. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, he said, I could have been.
Father, I pray for Kurt right now. And that will shift from getting me a son.
God. Would you say that with me? Glory to you, God. Glory to you, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have you committed with me today to walk with God? All the way to the end. Raise your hand if you commit with me to walk with Him. Hallelujah. You're welcome to come to this altar if you want to, but you can commit to it right there. If that's what you prefer, in the name of Jesus, come on, pray with me. Lord, I'm